Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers, hanging out with my man Kevin Dunn and Brad Keldner. You can reach us via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. Kevin Dunn is at KevinDunn01, and BK is at Brad Keldner in the Twitterverse. The news that broke right before we went to the break was that the NCAA has decided to cancel their fall championships. Now, that has nothing to do with football because big-time major college football separated themselves, and I think in a smart manner, very smart of them and proactive of them, from the NCAA a few years ago. College football playoff, I believe, was the separation actually officially when that started. And now they don't really control major college football. So those college football programs that have decided to move forward with the season, they're still moving forward with the season. Just fall championships are officially done. Now, I do wonder if that means they're going to start, and maybe they won't do this because they still got football to worry about, they're going to start giving information about eligibility, scholarship limits, and plans for the spring, all that kind of stuff.
That's a good question.
Or can they even do that? Do they have to hold up on that announcement until they figure out if they're actually having the spring though the fall sports moved to the spring.
Yeah.
Because then you would have to combine spring and fall sports at the same time, which I don't know if you can pull that off.
I don't know. I mean, that would be my guess, right? If the plan is to try to postpone the fall sports into the winter or into the spring, then maybe they'll hold off on making an announcement regarding eligibility and scholarship status for next year. But if the plan is just to cancel it, then maybe we'll get like what we got with the spring sports, because we got that announcement relatively quick.
It was
from
fast.
The NCAA, especially by NCAA terms, right? I figured we'd be starting spring sports next year, then maybe we'd find something out about what they were going to do in 2021. But they were pretty quick with that one. But yeah, I think it depends on what their plan is. And I think the verbiage they use is canceled, right? Like they didn't use postponed.
Oh, I got to go look. That's a good point. I didn't look at that either.
Maybe they kind of give a hit
right
by themselves.
That's a different discussion. Yeah, the cancel versus the postponement, the divorce versus the separation. He said we cannot at this point have fall. So you're right. Stuart Mandel said they officially canceled all Division I championships, but I don't know if Mark Emmert said that. The Mark Emmert quote is, as KD mentioned, we cannot at this point have fall NCAA championships. So at this time would insinuate right now we can't do it, but we could do it at another time. Or it could just be I'm leaving it open because I don't want to make a decision.
Right.
Which is more like the NCAA.
So apparently in this audio he does mention, and I'll try to cut this real quick so we can get it, but he does mention Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA, says
canceled.
The NCAA is looking into holding fall sports championships in the winter or the spring.
Okay.
So your theory still holds true that they're just cushioning the blow.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to cancel this thing. They just don't want to do it now because they know the blowback would be immediate and ferocious.
Right. I think there's a much better chance that you could play, and this has been my take on this for a while, you could play volleyball and do cross country.
Some other sports.
And do men's and women's soccer. In Texas's case, just women's soccer. You could play those in the winter or the spring and be okay.
Yeah.
Football, the issue with football is just the physical toll on the body. And no offense to any of those other sports. I don't think I'm offending anybody by saying the physical toll for playing football is a little bit different than any of those other sports, right? So I think
you probably are because it's 2020.
That's true.
But you're right.
So, I think there is a way, and I've always felt like there is a way that, you know, Texas volleyball, we could still see Jared Elliott's bunch play in the winter or in the spring. I mean, that's an indoor sport, right? So you don't have to worry too much about weather. And then maybe push soccer back to the spring. I think there's a way you could make that happen. So hopefully it does happen, right? These student athletes, they've worked incredibly hard. They deserve the chance to compete at the highest level. Hopefully that is the case where the NCAA is true to its word in the statement they just released, and they actually do try to have these fall championships at some point in the winter or the spring of 2021.
Yeah, part of that, too, is just the amount of people. So it wouldn't be 170 because it's not 85 and 85.
Very
but
true.
Whatever your traveling squad is to go with the 85 that are already there.
Good point. Good point right there.
Something else, the NCAA is finally starting to at least acknowledge and work on some of these issues that are arising as a result of the COVID crisis all over the country. But the NCAA is also recommending like new student athlete eligibility protections just in case their season is prematurely interrupted by COVID. So basically any player that ends up with the COVID virus or has to sit out because of the COVID virus would end up getting an extra year of eligibility. And if they opt out, of course, that being because of the risk involved because of the COVID virus this season, the NCAA actually recommended that players get an extra year of eligibility.
So yeah, I'm all for
doing
that.
Doing the right thing.
Yeah.
For the end. Yeah.
And I thought it was going to be ridiculous if they ended up in the spring not doing or doing that, and then the fall not doing it once again for let's be honest about it, for the people that pay for all the other sports, and that would be the football players.
Yeah. It's obviously it's just a recommendation right now. You know, they still have to meet, obviously, to vote on it to, I don't know exactly how that process would work. Seems like everything's being hastened at this process, and it should be. But I think that's something that everybody can agree on. But then you get into scholarship limits and scholarship numbers and what schools can afford, all that kind of stuff. So what the seniors, what do they do, all that kind of stuff. I know it's a complicated issue, which we got into when they canceled the spring sports.
Right.
Same thing.
And so that's where resources. Guys, COVID and is one of the things that I said early on that I thought would happen, and I think so far it's coming true, is that schools like Texas, even though they haven't been able to use their resources to really separate on the field, not nearly as much as we would like, this is where it could really separate. And not only with the EKG and the COVID testing, but with baseball, when Chris Ohtani came out and said, oh, now that this is available and it's just up to the school if you want to pay for the scholarship, all spring athletes, all of y'all are welcome back next year on our dime.
No doubt about that. And that, you know, kind of makes my mind wonder a little bit with the news that dropped last night that we've talked about throughout the show with Marquez Bimich, right? I mean, if like he opted out, does he still have that extra year of eligibility, or
Agreed.
Is this his final year and his Texas career is over? Like, that's interesting.
Did he redshirt? Because you could always.
He did not.
Okay, we could use
it as a redshirt year. That's true.
So it could be his redshirt year.
But,
but maybe he'll have two extra years.
I was about to say, but then it may get to, you're exactly right, PK. It may get to next year where he says, you know what? I'm now at 256 because I had that extra year off and I dropped 20 pounds and now I added about 5 and I am ready to rock and roll. But they're saying I'm going to be a 4th round pick. Can I get maybe that one extra year and put 2 years of film? So this would actually be in 3 years.
What
are you saying?
No, I'm with you.
I want to get that extra year because, like most people, I'm being trying to leverage my draft position.
It's a smart move, man. You got to make business decisions right now if you're a student athlete, if you do have pro aspirations and that as an option. Because, right, maybe, let's just say Marquez Bimich, that he's making a business decision. And we think the young man is doing it, obviously, because the risk involved and for his own health. And God bless him. Happy that he's gained some peace because of that. But if you want to make a business decision, sitting out this year if you're Marquez Bimich might not be a bad thing. Let Joseph Osai have that. You know, that jack position, let him shine at it. You sit out, you get that extra year. Joseph Osai leaves, ideally. You get the jack role because that's probably the position you want to play. It's featured more for a pass rushing DN. And,
oh, I got you. Yeah.
And then maybe you become the guy featured on that defense, the featured pass rusher, as opposed to the other pass rusher.
Interesting. You think he's got the skill set to play the jack?
I don't know. That's a good. He's out at 250 now, so I don't know what he looks like. And
right,
how he runs.
Yeah, and how he's,
you know what I mean?
How he's running and moving.
But, I mean, I know at that position, you know, you're mostly pass rushing and run stuffing. They don't want you out in space very often. They would like you, you know, they would like you being a force to reset the line of scrimmage. So that may fit right into what he's doing. Now, I don't know how well he knows the scheme, but if he's making a business decision, maybe that comes into the thought process.
He's got a year to learn it.
He's got a year to learn. And he, I'm saying, like, it could be, man. He gets 2 more years of eligibility. You could argue he wins if he gets 2 more years of eligibility. That'd be good for him.
I am fascinated.
Be good for us too.
Be good for everybody involved.
No,
yeah,
no, right. We know what the NFL is doing, right? Where guys who are opting out of the National Football League, they get a little bit of their paycheck paid in advance, so they have some money this year, but it doesn't take a year off their contract.
No, they don't get a vested that vested year.
Right. So if they have, like, if this was supposed to be their final year of their contract, then next year is going to be their final year of their contract. So maybe something similar. Obviously, it's not contracts; it's different. We're talking eligibility of college student athletes, but maybe the NCAA kind of follows that precedent where they're like, all right, this year will not count against you.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
I'm all for giving them as many breaks as you can. And I feel like the NCAA has been they're anal, and it just doesn't add up on some of the things that they're sticklers on, and then some things that they let go.
Yeah.
It never makes any sense, especially during this. If you can say yes, say yes.
Yeah, especially for the student-athletes.
It's weird to count on the NCAA, and I don't know if anyone counts on the NCAA ever, but, I mean, they haven't done everything right during this pandemic by any stretch of the imagination, and obviously with what's going on in college football, it kind of brings that to the forefront that, okay, what the hell are you guys doing exactly? but they actually have made some good decisions when it comes to scholarships, when it comes to eligibility for student-athletes, so hopefully that does continue if all these sports have to get canceled, just like the spring sports do. Like, I don't know why it wouldn't, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
Not that the NCAA is known for following its own precedent, but I don't know why you wouldn't follow your own precedent.
Fair point.
Right there, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that they've been easy, rational decisions, which is also why your statement is true. It's been kind of surprising the NCAA has done it.
Yeah, seems pretty common sense, a lot of them.
But there's been a lot of common sense stuff before
thrown out the window
that they have just blinked on.
All right, gentlemen.
Agreed.
Can I mention this real quick?
Please.
Going back to my tease.
Uh-oh.
At the end of the last segment.
Oh, it's over with, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I want to hear this. What is this?
Something that I honestly did not think I would live long enough to see. That is the San Antonio Spurs.
Oh.
Are eliminated.
No.
From postseason contention. Gentlemen, it's been 8,713 days.
Wow.
That's 23 years and change since the Spurs have last been eliminated from playoff contention.
Man.
The 22-year postseason run for the Spurs has officially come to a close because the Memphis Grizzlies beat the Milwaukee Bucks and the Phoenix Suns took down the Dallas Mavericks.
Ooh, that makes it interesting,
so
though,
the
for the other teams.
Is sealed for the Spurs. And, yeah, so Memphis is in that play-in tournament.
Okay, so they're in. Now we've got
Phoenix
waiting on the Blazers.
On the Blazers. So Phoenix went 8-0 in these season games. But despite that, they still are not locked in to even that play-in tournament for the 8th spot in the Western Conference. They need Portland to lose to Brooklyn tonight.
Uh-oh.
Ooh, with Dame playing like he's playing.
I know,
with
and Brooklyn, who brought nobody to the bubble at all. Now, Brooklyn.
They beat the Bucks.
They did beat the Bucks. They have surprised some teams.
The biggest upset in NBA history since 1995. That's a big win.
They did, but the Nets are already locked into the 7th seed in the East.
Oh.
They don't really have anything to play for. So I assume Portland's going to win that game. But, man, it's crazy. Devin Booker, 8-0. He's been awesome. And the NBA did announce that they're going to give, like, awards for the bubble.
That's
going to
be fun.
Sort of like a bubble MVP type stuff.
Luka might win it.
Luka's
got a chance.
I mean, Devin Booker should
win
it.
Devin Booker's been, like, but Dame's been great.
I know. Dame's been great. And maybe you'd use the argument that, the Suns, if they don't even make the playoffs, how can you give it to Devin Booker? But they went
8-0
in the bubble. He did everything he could have possibly done, and they did everything they could have possibly done.
That's a great story.
They just didn't get enough help. So, yeah, the Suns fans are big Nets fans tonight. 8 o'clock that game between Portland and Brooklyn. But, yeah, sorry, San Antonio. Once again, I never thought I'd see it. Just always assumed San Antonio would find some way to get into the postseason every single year. They've done it for the last 22. It will not happen in 2020. Just another reason why 2020 is a bizarre year, gentlemen.
I gotta start looking up the longest.
It took a pandemic,
Took a pandemic. Well, that almost kept the streak alive, right?
It did.
Exactly.
Because there was fear that the NBA season is over and the Spurs streak will live for another year. Since, hey, if there are no playoffs in 2020, then how can the streak come to an end? But no, it has officially come to an end.
So I've been watching basketball on one of my two TVs that I'm looking at right now, and the Spurs are playing like they know they're out of it. They're pretty dead against Utah here early.
Yeah, down 13. Is that what you get?
Yeah, you can't blame them.
Yeah.
I mean, God.
You played well.
You've seen that with all sports. That's just got to be impossible, Rod, to try and really get the energy
for nothing,
up.
Like it's nothing.
Yeah, and especially, I've seen this before in college especially, when guys are maybe watching it and hoping, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like you guys would have been seeing that Colorado was upsetting Nebraska, right? Nebraska. What game was that? Because you guys were about to play Colorado, Big 12 championship.
It was
some game that I'm watching.
I think it was like Florida. Maybe it was like Florida, Tennessee or something like that.
Yeah. And
I think it was like Florida,
and
Tennessee.
We knew going into that, I'm sure you guys knew.
Yeah.
So it can actually hurt you if all of a sudden you get the opportunity like y'all did, and maybe you're thinking about it too much. And then I can only imagine the flip side to where if you thought you were playing for something and an hour before you're watching it and you realize, all right, we got to go play in an hour and we're done.
We're done.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing that the Spurs gave themselves a chance, right? I mean, their expectations going into the bubble, I think, were pretty low. No LaMarcus Aldridge, a couple other injuries that they dealt with throughout the course of these eight games. They started 5-2, gave themselves a shot to the final day, but didn't get the help they needed. I'm trying to think, like, Texas football-wise, sort of the opposite direction than what you were talking about first, KD. Think of the Baylor game in 2013, right? In freezing Waco.
Yes, yes.
Oklahoma loses to Oklahoma State. Tyreek Hill, when he was on the Cowboys, had that crazy punt return touchdown to give the Pokes the victory, which turned Texas-Baylor into the de facto Big 12 title game, right? There was no Big 12 title game in 2013. It was cold as hell. That game was close at halftime, and then Texas laid an egg, and Baylor won the Big 12 that year. Bad times for all.
Yeah, not good times.
Art Briles. Mm. All right, real quick, some nuggets, guys. Speaking of Baylor and speaking of just the Big 12 as a whole, sort of feels like, and not every team across this conference has officially announced this yet, but it kind of feels like 25% is the capacity number that we're getting from around the league. I saw Oklahoma announce that. Saw Baylor announce it yesterday. Texas Tech, I think, announced it today. I don't know if Texas has officially announced it, but interim president, who's about to be president.
He's the sole finalist. That's always a good thing.
Well, sole finalist.
Do we have write-in options? write myself in.
I don't know. I'm asking for November.
Yeah, there you go. So it seems like we haven't gotten anything official from Texas, but Hartzell indicated a couple weeks ago that that's kind of the number that Texas is looking at. TCU looking at 25% too. Oklahoma State mentioned limited capacity, but they also said no tailgating at their games this year. But it sort of feels like
what'd you say?
No tailgating.
No tailgating.
At Oklahoma games?
Oklahoma State games.
Oh, well, same thing.
Same thing.
Same thing.
The beer a little stronger up there now. Didn't they make the beer kind of normal compared to what we have
now? I think you're right about that, actually. That was like a,
yeah, we can't make fun of them anymore for getting drunker on watered-down beer.
Yeah.
You still make fun of them for
other things. I'm about to say, there's still plenty of material.
Yeah. So that's the plan right now. So that's, you know, it's better than nothing, obviously. We'll see if it works. Hopefully it does work, right? And some teams have talked about forcing fans or requiring fans to wear masks whenever they're walking around the stadium. So we'll see how that all goes down. I'm also fascinated to see how these universities decide who the 25% is going to be.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there are people right now, like some boosters to all of these schools who are like, oh, I've donated enough money. I'm good. I've got enough points. I've been enough season ticket holder. I've been a season ticket holder for long enough. I'm good. I'm going to get in. And then at some point, there's going to be some email or phone call that says, no, you're not.
No, you're not.
Sorry about that.
It ain't happening.
Some people, though, are turning. I know I got friends of mine who they're big boosters, and they're deciding against going to games this year. It's just too much.
They turn it down.
Yeah, they just turn tickets down. So I think you'll get a lot of the big boosters who decide against it. A lot of them are older. Older people are at higher risk for this thing. So they're going to err on the side of safety, probably.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
All right, quickly here. So the game we're thinking of, so, Rod, was LSU-Tennessee in the SEC Championship. I remember watching that.
LSU-Tennessee.
Watching that. Actually,
Tennessee loses?
TCU. And, Tennessee lost to LSU. Tennessee was in the number two spot, and then LSU beat him in the SEC Championship 31-20. And so that opened it up for you. Later that evening, Texas entered the Big 12 championship game against Colorado, and it would seal their spot in the
Rose Florida,
Bowl.
Tennessee.
No, it's
it said if Florida was to stumble against either Tennessee or the SEC championship, right?
Yeah. So that was earlier on. So Florida had the inside track. They played Tennessee in the regular season. And then Tennessee then stepped into the number two spot and was in against LSU, but was upset.
All right.
So, yeah, if you remember that year, you're right, because Florida, it felt like they were going to be it. And then that kind of went to Tennessee.
Okay.
And then LSU upset them. God, I love college football.
Yeah. No, it was crazy. I mean, we had a shot. We just choked.
If it makes you feel better.
Lack of a better word.
It sucked, and that night sucked, and it really hurt. But I do remember, so there was not a word said between my buddies coming back from Dallas. We were going to stay there. We drove back right away. We're like, nope, we're going back to Austin.
Yeah.
We're not going to go out tonight and go party. It's not going to happen. We're miserable, and we should be.
Good fans.
Exactly. And if you're not miserable, you're not a real fan. We're going back to Austin. We didn't say a word until we got probably halfway. God. We didn't stop to get kolaches, BK. We were pissed and upset. And I was the first one to speak up, and I just said, well, actually, there were a couple things that were said. One was, it's better to dance than to not dance at all. And then the main thing was,
things losers say.
That wasn't.
I'd rather not dance if I'm not taking her home. I'm sitting and drink with the boys.
That wasn't taken very well. But then the next thing was, well, we weren't going to beat Miami anyway.
Because
you're going
not.
Up against that team. It would have been nice to get there, though.
Ken Dorsey was why we had a chance, but no, that team was really good.
Yeah.
Got a shot. I'll give you on that.
I'm sorry, Rod. I didn't mean
it's
to.
A rough trip down memory lane, gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you. Rub my face in it.
No.
Rub my face down memory lane.
Hey! I just showed you what it meant to me. We went straight home.
Oh, great.
I think we went straight to 6th Street, but we were going straight home.
On, had to go drown your sorrows, man.
Right.
Yeah.
Been there. The triple option with RBKD. Kevin Dunn, Rod Babers, BK with y'all. We've got the BK Lounge coming up next. Santa Stephen Jones came down the chimney with a great gift for Cowboys fans last night. Up next.
4th and 5, the national championship on the line right here.
All the band is out on the field.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
I don't believe what I just saw.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Chalmers for the tie.
Got it.
In two seconds.
Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
In your life, have you seen anything like that?
You believe in miracles? Yes!
Now, it's time to step inside the BK Lounge. Here's your host.
Who the hell is
Brad Kellner?
Baby, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you. I know what you want. You know I got it, baby. If you give
ladies
it
and
to
gentlemen,
me,
welcome to into you. The BK Lounge. As long as you want, you know August 13th, 2020 edition of the Lounge. Alongside Kevin Dunn and Rod Babers, I'm BK Brad Kellner, and this edition of the BK Lounge is brought to you by Audio Visual Consultations. Give them a call, 255-8678, to get the home TV setup of your dreams. Gentlemen, as if the gift of football being back wasn't enough, Santa Stephen Jones came down the chimney with one more gift for Dallas Cowboys fans.
So now you're cool with Christmas.
Well, Jesus was Jewish, so we got him.
That's a tough rebuttal for me.
I'm a Christmas guy. I love Christmas. Day off work.
What about Christmas vacation?
Everybody's in a great mood.
Yeah,
I love when people are in good moods, man. Doesn't happen now enough. Plus, we get the movie theaters to ourselves. We get some Chinese food. That's the Jewish tradition. It's a great day for all of us, man.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't even care anymore. As you get older, too, it's like, oh, everyone's in a good mood. And you go, why? It's because, you know, Fetty Wap or something like that. Some band I've never heard of. Or
Fetty Wap
reference? That's
yeah.
Out of all the bands you've never heard of that you've apparently heard of.
I've heard of them. I just don't know what they are.
It's a rapper.
Rapper. Okay.
It came out
with a new album. We're in a good mood. Well, I don't care. I'm just glad everyone's in a good mood. I'll take it, whatever.
That is a name drop I never thought we'd hear.
I agree with
on
you.
On this show. Phenomenal. Episode 105. Mark it down. History was made. All right, Santa Stephen Jones giving Cowboys fans another gift, and that gift is Everson Griffin, who the Cowboys signed to a one-year, $6 million contract to last night. Look, I've been saying this for a while. I think we all have, right? The Cowboys needed to address the defensive line this offseason. Excuse me. Ever since Robert Quinn, who, of course, led the Cowboys in sacks last year, left in free agency way back in March, also since Malik Collins left in free agency as well, we've known that the Cowboys have needed some help on the defensive line, especially on the edge. And really, this kind of can go beyond the defensive line, gentlemen. Like, the Cowboys just needed to make a splash on the defensive side of the football. We feel pretty good about the offense, really good about the offense, right? You've got maybe the best wide receiver trio in the league, one of the best running backs in football, still a very, very good offensive line, and Dak Prescott, who I think is a top 10 quarterback in the National Football League.
Ooh.
I'm not going top 3. I'm not going top 5. I'm going like 9 or 10, but you've got a quarterback who I feel very good about, and it is a contract year for Dak Prescott, so I feel good about anybody playing in a contract year. So, gentlemen, the Cowboys' offense should be set, but the defense, that has always been the question for the 2020 Cowboys. Can the defense not suck? That's really what the question was. Like, can they just be average enough to let the offense win them games? And honestly, before last night, I wasn't sure what the answer to that question was. I wasn't that confident that the Cowboys' defense couldn't not suck. They needed to make another move.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. And they addressed the biggest need on either side of the football, and they did it on the cheap. And, gentlemen, this move came as a surprise. Like, it makes sense because the Cowboys needed edge-rushing help. They needed a right defensive end to go opposite of DeMarcus Lawrence. But this was a surprise because this is generally not what the Cowboys do. They generally don't do anything and just kind of have faith and confidence in the guys that they already have on their roster. Turns out, that was more of a Jason Garrett trait than it was a Stephen Jones trait. And with Mike McCarthy, we haven't seen him coach a game yet, so I'm not building any statues right here. But it seems like the Cowboys have found a coach who will blend the new analytical side of things in the game of football, but also a coach who is willing to go out in free agency and take some risks. Jason Garrett was very risk-averse. We know this. The Cowboys' front office has been very active in free agency this year, way more than we're used to seeing them in free agency. And it feels obvious at this point, I know it's a one-year sample size, but to me it feels pretty obvious that Jason Garrett was playing a big role in that. Sort of the revolving doors of players that the Dallas Cowboys have had over the last 10 years. And look, the secondary still has questions. There's no doubt about that. I'm not sitting here telling you the Cowboys have a top five defense in the NFL all of a sudden. I'm still concerned about that. But the Cowboys, what they're trying to do, they're trying to offset those concerns with a really, really good pass rush with DeMarcus Lawrence on the left side, Everson Griffin on the right side, Gerald McCoy, Dontari Poe up the center, and there's some depth that the Cowboys have on that defensive line. On Everson Griffin, gentlemen, he spent the last 10 years in Minnesota, 8 sacks last year, 11 TFLs, and 24 QB hits. He's got 3 double-digit sack seasons since 2014. He's a 4-time Pro Bowler. Now, he is 32, but he has shown no signs of letting up in terms of production. And once again, it's a one-year deal. He's in a contract year already. It's a prove-it deal for nothing. And, gentlemen, the best part, this is the part that I haven't heard enough people talk about since this signing went down last night. The Cowboys are doing something that I never thought they had the brains to do. I never thought Jerry and Stephen Jones and Will McClay and anybody would be smart enough to figure this out. Dallas is cashing in on compensatory picks. They signed Everson Griffin after the compensatory pick deadline, so they don't have to give one up to Minnesota. And if Griffin leaves in free agency next year, the Cowboys will pick up a compensatory pick.
No, it's brilliant.
And oh, by the way, they already have comp picks coming in the 2021 draft because they lost Byron Jones, because they lost Robert Quinn, and because they lost Malik Collins. The Cowboys front office is savvy, guys. When did this happen?
It's Belichickian.
When did this happen? They're savvy now. And you could argue, look, last year, I don't think Everson Griffin had a better year than Robert Quinn, but Everson Griffin, he's got more skins on the wall than Robert Quinn does over the course of his career. I think Everson Griffin is better against the run. I think he's more versatile than Robert Quinn. Gentlemen, Robert Quinn signed with the Bears for $70 million over 5 years.
Yeah, had a breakout year in that one-year rental with the Cowboys.
$30 million guaranteed. Everson Griffin is getting a max of $6 million. So this is a perfect signing by the Dallas Cowboys. Position of need, cheap deal, prove-it deal, really good player. And, man, now you feel a lot better about the Cowboys' defense. So Cowboys fans have been waiting for a move like this for months, right? I mean, Cowboys fans have been clamoring for Jadeveon Clowney or Everson Griffin. I've seen this a ton from Cowboys beat writers. We've talked about it. Cowboys fans have talked about it. That sort of felt like the missing piece. Just get you another edge rusher to take some pressure off Tank Lawrence, but really to take some pressure off the linebackers and off that secondary. And the Cowboys did that. Gentlemen, I am ecstatic to watch this Cowboys team get going a little bit less than a month from now.
I think it's going to be fun. Now, he's still listed as a general manager, so I don't want to get into semantics here, but I wonder if their masks are going to be required whenever Aaron has to make that walk.
The Cowboys win the Super Bowl.
I don't know if I'm going that far yet.
Oh, I think you are, baby. Let's feel it.
I'm feeling better about the Cowboys than I have in a long time, man. I mean, the roster feels supremely talented. It's not perfect, no question about that, and I don't think it's as good as San Francisco and a couple of other teams across the National Football League, but, man, it feels like they've got a roster and a head coach who's obviously done this before that puts them in maybe not the first tier of legit Super Bowl contenders, but they are very, very close to it. And I'll tell you what, man, I mean, this does kind of feel like a Jerry Jones move. It feels like a gunslinging type of Jerry Jones move. We just didn't have that when Jason Garrett was the head coach, right? This is a gunslinging bit. I was worried that was kind of Stephen Jones's MO, but I don't think it is. So I think Mike McCarthy's already making an impact from him being here. And I also think the Cowboys are feeling a positive impact from Jason Garrett just not being here.
Yeah.
They think they got a shot. Combination.
They're going all in. They think they got a shot. They that draft historically where they got so much value. In terms of value in that draft overall, first, second, third, fourth round, the Cowboys probably got more than anybody. In addition to, as you talked about, the offensive firepower they're going to retain, they're not weak at a lot of positions. I'm trying to think. Corner is probably one of the weakest positions the Cowboys. Could be corner and tight end. If you want to say that. They're weak there.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't see a lot of weaknesses. And I can easily see the cornerback position improving drastically with a really good pass rush.
Yeah, right. Well, I was about to say, so both those position groups I agree with, Rod, but I think both are going to be helped out with the strengths around them. I mean, if Jarwin's ever going to have a year with one-on-one coverage, this is going
to
be it.
Might be one-on-zero coverage.
Right.
They might just leave that dude open to focus on the other weapons the Cowboys have.
And Diggs gambles too much and was toast too often at Alabama, but he's got a lot of what you're looking for with the physical tools. And, I mean, I was worried about San Francisco's secondary all year long, and it took the Super Bowl in the third quarter for me to really feel exposed.
I think every Cowboys corner except for Anthony Brown?
Mm-hmm.
Is a free agent after this year. So I told you I'm a big fan of prove-it deals of contract years. They're going to be playing for it. They're going to be motivated because their next contract is on the line. Their future in the league is on the line.
I could see them revamping the entire cornerback group, though.
Yeah, if it doesn't work out, right, then those guys are all gone. I think that's they kind of want that for a reason.
Yep.
So.
It's not Jamal Adams, but Griffin's a damn good player. And think about what you would have had to give up and what you're – getting just as a bargain basement right now.
Bargain bin, man.
Bargain bin.
It's amazing.
Nice. So there you go. Some Cowboys talk. Good day if you're a Cowboys
fan. Stop hating on Jerry Jones, people.
It's a great pickup.
I got to stop hating on Jerry Jones. Whether it was Jerry.
Oh, he has been gone for 2 months.
Well, whether it's Jerry who decided to remove himself and be a little bit more disassociated from the process, or him just picking out the right people like Will McClay and saying, Stephen Jones, take over, do more of it. He's or listening to them, don't draft Johnny freaking Manziel or make that bad trade. Jerry has changed a little bit, and it's for the better for that front office.
He's done his job.
He's done his part.
The Cowboys have a good enough roster to win a Super Bowl. Now, can they go out and do it? We'll see. All right, NFL talk, the triple option with RBKD. We've got one segment to go. We'll tell you what's on tap, what we're getting into in the world of sports and beyond. Up next.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion. Sir,
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really good.
That's good.
Pop a top again. I've just got time for one more round. Set 'em up, my friend.
All right, welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. We're just talking about things that we regret as grown people. But now it's time for What's on Tap, gentlemen. Tonight, What's on Tap? I'm sure I'm going to try to check out. Is that Blazers game on television? It's probably not, actually. I don't know if it is. Yeah, anyway, I'm going to try.
It's Thursday, so TNT would be the hope.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's on, though. I want to say that. Well, I checked the Blazers game.
Come on. TNT.
Oh, it's on?
8 o'clock.
All right, good. All right, nice. Sorry, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, so I'm glad you checked me on that. Okay,
checked on
so
it.
I'll probably go home and watch some watching basketball.
Jazz leading the Spurs 61-50, but as we talked about earlier, that game didn't mean anything.
Yeah, we should pay homage to the Spurs, man. I mean, 22
years. We've done that
enough
over the last 22 years.
All right, Dallas guy.
Let me enjoy this day, okay?
I'm a Rockets fan.
This is a day of celebration for Mavs and Rockets fans everywhere. Honestly, fans of the other 27 NBA franchises, too.
Yeah, we could talk about it tomorrow, then, I guess.
Spurs have had their run. They've had their fun, and they've had plenty of fun over the last 2 years. They've been awesome. But
it's the end of an era, man.
It's a great day.
It's the end of an era.
Look at the smile, boy. He's in a good mood today.
I'm telling you guys, I wasn't being supercilious.
Well done.
To use Michael Irvin's
Thanks,
word.
Michael.
Well done.
When I said I wasn't sure I would live long enough to see the Spurs miss the playoffs. I, like, just assumed it would happen every year, because it has happened pretty much every year I've been alive. I just figured they'd find some way. And then they start 5-2 in the bubble, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Are they really going to find a way to get in? When they get here, they're, like, 12th out of 13 teams in the West, and they're 4 games back. Are they seriously going to find a way to do this, to get into that mini play-in series that they made up this year for the first time? And then if they get in there, they're going to win it, of course. Is this really going to happen?
Death, taxes, and Spurs.
Exactly. That's what it is. That's what it is. So this is it's a glorious day for Dallas BK.
I feel bad for Spurs fans out there. Some of them 30-year-old Spurs fans are younger. They've never known a postseason without their team in it.
It's like feeling bad for Bama fans because they missed the playoff last year.
Or Yankee fans. I got a lot more respect for Bama and Yankee fans who were actually watching them in the 80s when they sucked.
Those are real fans. Those Spurs fans, they were there when the Spurs sucked.
They exist, but none of them are my age because they weren't alive. It's not their fault. They just weren't alive.
They're our age.
That's a good point.
Good news, guys. Good news.
What you got?
Night off of a sweep of the Indians. Cubs just added another run in the bottom of the second. 2-0 Cubbies over the Brew Crew.
The Brew Crew. 12-3 now?
With no bullpen. Yeah. They've got the three of us warming up in the bullpen, and they're still able to win.
As an Astros fan, I'm giving you the middle finger.
Especially saying that.
Yeah.
Hey, we got a good podcast coming up, Longhorn Blitz podcast. Right. Yeah. What do you guys?
Me and my man Matt Butler. We just talked about Jeff. College football chaos. Yeah, Jeff's obviously dealing with some family stuff, so just me and Matt talking college football chaos. It's good stuff.
It's always good stuff.
Thank you, brother.
All right, so we'll be listening to that. That is coming up next. Don't forget Padres-Dodgers tonight, too. Chris Paddock, the local area kid, against Julio Urias.
Don't forget Stars Game 2 tonight,
baby. Stars Game 2. I knew I forgot about something. Well, we'll see how long that good mood lasts for BK. We'll update you tomorrow. We'll have one of those wacky Fridays. It'll be a country music Friday. B&E will get it started at 6 o'clock. For Rod Babers, Brad Kellner, I'm Kevin Dunn. Enjoy what's left of the night. Peace.